ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Well, that's not exactly what Paul meant. Of course it is. It's very clear. I know it doesn't speak of expository preaching, but listen to what Paul said in Acts chapter 20, verses 26 through 31, to the Ephesian pastors. He felt this was the last time he was going to see them. He's trying to encourage them, to warn them about the dangers that are out there with the false teachers and the deception. And he said, "Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves." I find that interesting, after themselves, not after the Lord. "Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears." Paul gave them the whole counsel of God, not just part of it, not a topical message. He went verse by verse. He went through the Scriptures. And granted, the Word of God was not in chapters and verses at that time, but I think you know what I mean. He gave them the whole counsel of God. And we know what's going on in the last days. This is why it amazes me that churches fall prey to this. Because I don't know, if you're going through the Bible verse by verse and you come to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 5, listen to what Paul told this young pastor. "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching." Because the time's going to come when they're not going to endure sound doctrine. "But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they're going to heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions through the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry." We've developed this idea of we need to grow the church. We need to, you know, increase the numbers. And so to do that, we got to minister to the people. We got to reach them where they're at. No, you give people what they need. If you give them what they want all the time, that'd be very dangerous. Our responsibility as a pastor or as a leader is to give people the Word of God. But if you degrade the Word of God, we're telling God, "Look, we're smarter than you are," right? People say, "Well, this book was written so long ago, it was for a different group of people." But today, we're far different than they were. So you're telling God, "Look, you didn't know what it was going to be like in our day." Are you kidding me? Then he's not all-knowing. And if he's not all-knowing, you see the problem here? We are not smarter than God, guys, not even close. He also said this, Andy Stanley, "All Scripture is equally inspired, but not all Scripture is equally applicable or relevant to every stage of life. My challenge is to read culture and to read an audience and ask, what is the felt need? Or perhaps what is more important? What is an unfelt need that they need to feel that I can address?" So now it's my feelings. Whoa, feelings. That's why I'm not on the worship team, okay? When I'm preparing these studies, do I always like what the Lord is showing me? No, because it's affecting my heart, okay? This is something I need to deal with. I need to look at. So if I'm just going to give you what you feel you need or what I feel you need, it's going to be good. Everything's going to be perfect. There's no problems. There's no conviction. I don't have to read a culture. I don't have to read an audience. I have to hear from God. You see how important that is? I realize, you know, I'm preaching to the choir here, but this is so important because we are going to be challenged by other Christians yes, this is the word of God, but not everything. Really? Then how do we know what's right and wrong? Well, then I have to choose. And that's very dangerous. He also said this, I believe the true defining moment of my life as a communicator took place when I was in seminary. I was asked to do a chapel for the high school academy at First Baptist Church, Dallas. So I got the message all ready to go, and I was going to preach on the story of Naaman. And God told him to dip in the water 7 times and he would be healed. I had all this great stuff. And I was sitting in my one-room efficiency apartment and I was thinking, these kids have heard everything. They go to church all the time. They're not going to remember this. This is just another chapel. What can I do so they can remember this? I am just going to come up with one phrase and I'm going to say it so many times that they can't possibly forget it. So I came up with this phrase, to understand why, submit and apply. This was over 30 years ago and I still remember it. So I told the whole story and I said the bottom line was to understand why, submit and apply. And I said that God is going to ask you to do some things that you might not understand why, but you must submit and apply. I had to say it over and over. 3 years go by and I'm working in the college department in the same church and a freshman walks in and says, I remember you. To understand why, submit and apply. He didn't remember my name. He wasn't even sure where he had seen me before, but it stuck in his head, and I'll never forget thinking that is what I want to do for the rest of my life. You know, if you negate God's word, then what are you submitting and applying? Am I submitting to what someone else has said, some book that I read? Or am I submitting to the authority of God's word? 66 books God has given us. His love story to us. And what I like about Joshua here is he didn't water down the message. He didn't alter the message. He gave the people the word of God, no matter how easy or difficult it may have been. And that's what they needed to hear. Not the words of Joshua. Well, I think we should do this. No. Thus says the Lord. We also see, we see this over and over in the scriptures, but one of the people that my heart goes out to is Jeremiah. The guy's over 40 years in ministry, warning that judgment was coming. We're going into captivity. The Babylonians are coming. And what were the false prophets saying? Everything is fine. We're building up the kingdom. We hear that today. Kingdom Now theology. New Apostolic Reformation movement. That's what they're pushing for. We are building up the kingdom of God and then Jesus Christ will come back. It will never happen that way. If you are waiting for it to, look out. Look at our society today. Is it better than it was 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago? No. There is more immorality flaunted today than ever before. Are we making this nation more Christian? Not at all. And we don't make this nation Christian. God does. And he does it by winning hearts to him. We share the gospel message. We see the Holy Spirit open the hearts and minds of the people. And they come to saving faith. And that's what changes a nation. But look at what's going on today. And Jeremiah, wow. Preached the message. And is thrown into a pit. All kinds of things. It would have been very easy for Jeremiah to water it down. Yeah, guys, not looking real great, but you never know. No, he told. Why? Because he didn't let the fear of man drive him. He let the fear of the Lord guide him. And that's what we need to do in our lives. Because you will be challenged. Are you going to be fearful of what man is going to think of you or say of you? And let that drive you to do things that you shouldn't do or say things that you shouldn't say or agree with things that you shouldn't agree with? Or are you going to let the fear of God guide you? Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Let the word guide you. Let the fear of the Lord guide you. We don't want to be driven like cattle, guys. We want to be led by the Lord. And I look at this world and boy, is it being driven, isn't it? So how are the children of Israel going to respond now to this message? And that's our third point, obedience to the Lord's instructions. Look at verse 9 here in Joshua 8. Joshua therefore sent them out, and they went to lie in ambush and stayed between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai, but Joshua lodged that night among the people. Then Joshua rose up early in the morning and mustered the people and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people to Ai. And all the people of war who were with him went up and drew near. And they came before the city and camped on the north side of Ai. Now there was a valley between them at Ai, So he took about 5,000 men and sent them in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. And when they had set the people, all the army that was on the north of the city and its rear guard on the west of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. So, first of all, again, the city of Ai maybe had some 12,000 people. Maybe half were soldiers, fighting men. And Joshua says to send in 30,000 men, or the Lord tells him. So the first group of soldiers were used as ambush against the city of Ai, and they went to the west side hiding out. The second group of soldiers, including Joshua, camped right in front of the city of Ai on the north side so they could be seen. They were the decoys, you might say, to entice the soldiers of Ai to come out after them. And that's just what they did previously. The third group of soldiers, maybe about 5,000, were used to cut off any reinforcements coming to the aid of the people of Ai. And what's interesting here is they didn't doubt what the Lord told them. They went forward and obeyed the instructions that the Lord had given them. You know, when you find yourself in a mess, when you're in sin, was it because you were obeying the Lord? No. And that's always what happens when we disobey the Lord. We get ourselves in trouble and we don't find the victory that we're looking for. And I'm not saying that as we're following the Lord, everything is easy. Not at all. But our obedience to the Lord is so important. And we may not always understand, but can we obey Him? There's a story about over 90 people conducting an all-night search for an 8-year-old boy named Dominic. He was on a skiing trip with his father, and he had ridden on a new lift, ski lift, and skied off the run without realizing it, which, you know, is easy to do. And they hoped to find Dominic somewhere on the snowy mountain slope before it was too late. And as each hour passed, the search party and the boy's family became more and more concerned. And by dawn, they still hadn't found no trace of him. Imagine all night, this 8-year-old boy is out on this mountain, freezing. Two helicopters joined the search and within 15 minutes had spotted ski tracks. A ground team followed the tracks, which changed to small footprints. And the footprints led to a tree where they found the boy at last. He's in super shape. The area search and rescue coordinator announced to the anxious family and press. In fact, he's in better shape than we are right now, which is hilarious. A hospital spokesman said the boy was in fine condition and was not even admitted. And the rescuer explained why the boy did so well despite spending a night in the freezing elements. His father had enough forethought to warn him what to do if he became lost. And his son had enough trust to do exactly what his father said. He protected himself from the possible frostbite and hypothermia by snuggling up to a tree and covering himself with branches. As a young child, he never would have thought of doing it on his own. He was simply obeying his wise and loving father. What an amazing kid. He listened to what his father said. It saved his life. Do we listen to what our Father God says to us? Because He loves us even more than that father loved his son. And He has told us exactly what we need to do. You see, if we don't listen to Him, can we say that we know Him as a loving Father? No, we're not trusting Him then. We need to listen and obey what the Lord is telling us. Hear, trust, submit, surrender to God and His Word. In Romans 6, verses 16 through 18, Paul put it like this. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. When we came to saving faith, when we came from being in bondage to sin to being set free in Christ, why? It's done. And thus walk accordingly. Surrender your lives to the Lord. Obey what He's saying in His Word. Why do you want to go back in bondage is the idea. It makes no sense. Don't you want to be free in the Lord? Absolutely. In Joshua 1:8, the Lord said, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Absolutely. Our loving Father loves us so much, He's told us what we need to do in our lives. John 14, verses 23 through 24, Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." You see, our love for God is seen in our obedience to him and his word. Not legalism, but love. We do it out of love. You know, I have been very blessed to have been married to Julie for 40 years now. And yeah, I used to say I got married when I was 10, but you know, that would still make me 50. So this was in the womb we got married, okay? Doesn't even work anymore. Wow. But here's the thing. And you could check this out for yourself. If you doubt me, check it out. You can come over to our house, and you will see that Julie has not written a set of laws that I have to follow. She doesn't have a list of things that I can and can't do. Well, then, how could we still be married for over 40 years? Obviously, it's the Lord. Julie's a saint, but that's not what I'm talking about here. How could we be married for 40 years? Yes, the Lord is the center of our marriage. But I do those things because of that relationship with Jesus that will bless my wife, honor my wife, not out of the law, but because I love her. And I don't do the things that would hurt my wife, dishonor my wife, not because there's some law that says I can't do those things, but because I love her. You see the difference there? If we truly believe that God loves us more than we'll ever know, if we truly believe that God has what is best for our lives, follow him, right? Why not listen to what he's telling us? And that really leads to our last point, the victory against Ai. Look at starting in verse 14. "Now it happened when the king of Ai saw it, that the men of the city hastened and rose early and went out against Israel to battle, he and all his people at the appointed place before the plain. But he did not know that there was an ambush against him behind the city. And Joshua and all Israel made as if they were beaten before them and fled by the way of the wilderness. So all the people who were in Ai were called together to pursue them. And they pursued Joshua and drawn away from the city. There was not a man left in Ai or Bethel who did not go out after Israel. So they left the city open and pursued Israel. Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'Stretch out the spear that is in your hand toward Ai, for I will give it into your hand.' And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had his hand toward the had in his hand toward the city. So those in ambush arose quickly out of their place. They ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand, and they entered the city and took it and hastened to set the city on fire. And when the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended to heaven. So they had no power to flee this way or that way. And the people who had fled to the wilderness turned back and the pursuers. Now when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city and that the smoke of the city ascended, they turned back and struck down the men of Ai. Then the others came out of the city against them. So they were caught in the midst of Israel, some on this side and some on that side. And they struck them down so that they let none of them remain or escape. But the king of Ai they took alive and brought him to Joshua. And it came to pass when Israel had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field, in the wilderness where they pursued them, and when they had all fallen by the edge of the sword until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned to Ai and struck it with the edge of the sword. So it was that all who fell that day, both men and women who were 12,000, all the people of Ai, for Joshua did not draw back his hand with which he stretched out the spear until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Only the livestock and the spoil of the city Israel, of that city Israel took as booty for themselves, according to the word of the Lord which he had commanded Joshua. So Joshua burned Ai, made it a heap, forever a desolation to this day. And the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until evening, and as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his corpse down from the tree, cast it at the entrance of the gate of the city, and raise over it a great heap of stones that remains to this day." So here it is, the victory the children of Israel had against Ai because they obeyed the Lord. You see, when the king of Ai saw the children of Israel once again, it was kind of like deja vu to them. You know, he decided, look, what we did before when they came out against us, we went after them, we defeated them, we're going to do it again. Only this time, as the men of the city of Ai left, they also left it open for the children of Israel who were waiting on the west side to enter in. They were defenseless. And this was the battle plan God gave to them. They were ambushed. And when the men of the city of Ai saw the smoke rising from their city, they realized, look, we've been tricked. And the men of Israel would come after them with Joshua, and the battle was over. Their hearts melted, and they completely destroyed the people of Ai, not by the power of the children of Israel, but by the power of God working in and through the children of Israel as they walked in obedience to the Lord. And the Lord gave them the spoils of victory. And God's teaching them a lesson. There are consequences for obedience and disobedience, and God would bless through their obedience to him, and he would chasten in their disobedience. And our victory, guys, is in the Lord, and in our obedience to what he is telling us to do. God wants to give us the victory. We have to follow. And I don't know what you're going through. You know, difficulties at work right now, difficulties with medical conditions, difficulties. There's all kinds of battles that we're facing. Can we surrender them to the Lord, to him, rest in him, and see the victory that he wants to give us? Because he does want to give us the victory. There's a story about that happened at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. There was this clerical error that sent a supply clerk with the 82nd Airborne Division out the door of an airplane on his first parachute jump without any formal training. I would have died right there. But it was Army Specialist Jeff Lewis. He was 23, and he landed unhurt. He said he was doing what a good soldier is supposed to do when he made the jump: follow orders. The Army said I was airborne qualified. I wasn't going to question that. I guess going out the back of a plane, it's not time to start questioning it, right? You follow orders. That's what the Lord is telling us. Hopefully that's what you've seen this morning. Follow what he is telling you. Be in his word. Be open to what the Holy Spirit is showing you as you're reading his word, as you're involved in situations. It's a walk of faith. And we need to follow him all the days of our life and see what he is doing in us and through us as we follow him. I wish I can tell you there's no more battles, but there are always battles. And I've seen that over the years. You know, being in ministry for 24 years here, I'm not a novice at battles. But I do have to admit, there are times when you think, finally, that's over. Now we can just move on. There are always battles. I wish they weren't there, but they are. How are we going to deal with them? Bring them before the Lord. Lord, you know there's no strength in me. There's no power in me. I can't do this on my own. But we're going to look to you, to you, in the battles that I face, and see the victory you want to bring. If there's something in my life, some sin that's I have to deal with, Lord, show me that I can give it to you and we can move on and see the victory that you have for us in these battles that we're going to. I'm so thankful, Lord, that you care that much for me, that you never give up, right? Aren't you? I'm telling you, if I was God and had to deal with me, I would have been done with me a long time ago. Yeah, thank you. I'm not God. And he never gives up on us. He never gives up on us. We should be like, praise the Lord, that you never give up. The children of Israel, he was teaching them a lesson at Ai that they needed to learn. He wanted to give them victory, but before the victory was defeat. But you got to deal with the sin that's in the camp. Move on. And that's exactly what we see here. They dealt with the sin. God gave them instructions. Joshua told the people, this is what the Lord wants us to do. They followed the Lord, and they got the victory. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word here this morning. Our victory is in you, and it's always in you, Lord. Thus may we look to you to be the strength of our life to get those victories, Lord. Deal with issues that we need to deal with. listen to what you're telling us to do and then just obey and see the victory you have in the situations. It doesn't mean that everything always works out perfectly, but it works out according to what you want. And we need to be sensitive to that. We need to walk by faith. Thank you, Lord, for being our God. I pray for any who are struggling with battles here this morning, Lord, that they would look to you, that they would follow you, as difficult as it may be, and they'd see the victory that you had on. Thank you, Lord. We just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.